Hello, I'm Steve Wiggins, and this is podcast number 18 of the Sex and Violence in the Ancient World blog. Today's topic will be death in the ancient world. In a recent post, I mentioned in passing that the story of King Saul's request to see Samuel, the prophet, after his death was one of unusual interest in the Hebrew Bible, but I suggested in my post that what was going on here is that Samuel actually was brought back from the dead for Saul to consult. The overall story goes like this, that the ancient Israelites were under the pressures of the Philistines who were living in the territory next door, and Saul had fallen out of favor with God, according to the story. Samuel, who had been Saul's constant kind of nemesis, but yet also a trusted prophet, had died, and Saul was unsure where to turn for advice about what to do about the Philistine problem on the eve of a battle. As it turns out, he had banished all of the necromancers, sometimes called witches in translations of the Hebrew Bible. The famous Witch of Endor, of course, is a necromancer of various sorts. And he had banished these practitioners from Israel, and so he had no recourse to a dead person in the form of Samuel. He did find one remaining necromancer, and as he consulted with her, he asked for Samuel to be brought up, and according to the story, taking it at face value, we have Samuel reappearing from the underworld, or from Sheol, and giving Saul true advice about what's going to happen, namely that he's about to die in battle and things aren't going to end very well for him. Now, this story has always fascinated Bible readers because of its unexpected affirmation that the dead indeed might return. From our perspective today, we tend to think of the dead as being either in heaven or hell, and that there is really no possibility in a biblical sense of a return of the dead. But to get to the root of this idea, we have to go back a little bit further than the Bible to begin with, and start to look at our ancient ancestors, those who were well before written records and well before the Bible itself was ever composed. These ancient societies are attested through archaeological remains, and one of the things that we can see through the burial practices of ancient people is that they did seem to fear that the dead might come back. That seems to be the basic rationale behind building a cairn over a dead body, or even by burying them under the ground. Quite apart from removing them from sight, it also prevents the dead from returning. Now, when written records finally do begin to appear, we find in ancient Sumer and Mesopotamia, and also in the Hebrew Bible, the idea that the dead have a holding place where they are kept after they have died. In the Hebrew Bible, this holding place is given the name of Sheol. It's not hell. It's nothing like that. It's actually just a place where the dead remain. And it is essentially a place located underneath the earth where, when the dead are buried, their bones, they knew about decomposition, their bones would eventually be all that would be left. And they seem to have some kind of remembrance associated with their bodies, and the dead would remain there somehow in some way. But we get conflicting messages from the ancient times about whether the dead were good or bad or indifferent. There was a real ambivalence about this because the dead could seem to be harmful creatures. They did believe in the possibility of ghosts, and there are all kinds of reasons for the possibility that people thought the dead could return from the memory of beloved ones to any kind of actual apparition they might have seen. But in any case, they did believe that the dead could return to cause harm. Yet, at the same time, they also have this idea of the dead as being sleepy, weak, basically low-energy shadows of their former selves. These are the people who are in Sheol or the underworld. They remember who they were. They don't have much energy or much interest in returning to the land of the living. When they do come back, however, they can cause problems. Now, this association of the dead is, say, an ambivalent one. people would remember the animated person. This is a good memory often of somebody who was a valued member of society. And yet, at the same time, the view of their decomposing body is abhorrent and terrifying. And so that has to be kept out of sight in a place that's safe and won't cause any kind of contagion. The people of the ancient times did know about contagion and they did know about disease. They didn't have any kind of sophisticated understanding of it, but they knew it existed and that dead bodies could cause problems if left untreated. Their way of expressing it is often to understand the dead as impure or unclean, and that would cause a problem if it wasn't taken care of in an expedient manner. In any case, the dead seem to be liminal characters associated with their bones and remembering who they were, but not really ever impinging on the world of the living. So now we have these cultures in the ancient world who knew the dead were part of their society, and this is often shown in their treatment of the dead. Cemeteries were not very common institutions in the ancient world. Many cultures buried the dead under the threshold of their house. They may very well have waited till the flesh had rotted away and decomposed. You don't want a freshly dead corpse buried in your house. But they would put the dead bones, or the bones of their dead, under the threshold, so that there was a close connection between the living and the dead, and the dead were not forgotten. We also know that many ancient cultures fed their dead and provided grave goods for them in their somewhat shadowy existence in the afterlife. But we do know that we have a contradiction in ideas here. We don't really know, because we have no explicit records stating, what feelings were towards the dead. Did they actually live, or were they just simply there and just a reflection of who they were? We also have contradictory accounts of what Sheol was like, or the underworld. Obviously, nobody had ever been there who could actually come back and tell what it was like. We don't have people returning. But we have descriptions of Sheol as being dry and dusty, where the dead can only eat the dust for their food. And we have descriptions saying it's wet and it's slimy and it's kind of murky and mucky and smells bad. These are all probably based on observations of any kind of excavation in the ancient world. When you start digging down in the ground, you can either run into dry substrata or marshy, wet substrata, and they seem to be aware of that. But the dead could occasionally come back. Now, this isn't properly an afterlife. The first people that experimented with this idea seems to have been the ancient Egyptians, who pioneered this concept of a life continuing after death in a distant land, so the dead had to travel far, far away from where they lived and have a continuation of their life elsewhere. But in the Hebrew Bible, the dead are simply dead. There is no idea of resurrection there, at least not until very, very late in the Hebrew Bible, in the period of composition of the Hebrew Bible. Resurrection as an idea seems to arise from Zoroastrianism. Zoroastrianism was an ancient religion, probably founded in Afghanistan or what was ancient Persia, and it became part of other ancient religions when the Persian Empire spread its influence throughout the ancient world and became a universal empire in ancient times. As it did so, many of the ideas of Zoroastrianism infiltrated other religions, including Judaism. So at the time that Zoroastrianism started to get into the ascendant position in ancient religions, Judaism had not yet at this point accepted the idea of an afterlife. And to understand it, you need to understand that Zoroastrianism is a dualistic religion. It believes in good versus evil, a kind of ultimate bifurcated reality. So we have a good reality and a bad reality, and they're struggling with each other. And as we get this kind of dualism, this dualism also includes a dualism of ages. So there's this present age that we live in, and there's also a future age, a new era. And in that new era, things will be radically different than they are now. And one of those radically different things about this new era is that there will be judgment and of the dead and a kind of a resurrection, a sort of a general resurrection, if you will. This is first attested in the Hebrew Bible in the book of Daniel, where the idea is that young people who died before their time, those who died for their faith, are actually given the opportunity to come back. They return to start life again where they left off in the new age. You don't want to return right now. If you've just died because you're being persecuted and you've been martyred in a nasty way, it does no good to return to life immediately, because if you do, then you'll only be killed again. The idea was that when the new age comes, and that's the Zoroastrian aspect, when the new age comes, those who died before getting a chance to live their full lives get to come back and start over again where they left off. Now, this is a kind of idea that really appeals to people who are being persecuted. And so by the time of early Christianity, when there was still considerable ambivalence towards this new movement within Judaism, some Jews had kind of come to accept a general resurrection. It was not universally accepted in Judaism, and it still is not. But there were those who accepted that resurrection might be a possibility. Now, the idea of a judgment of the dead also seems to come from two basic sources in the ancient world. One is the Egyptians. The ancient Egyptians did believe in a judgment before entering the afterlife, but so did the Zoroastrians. The Zoroastrians believed that you had a period of judgment after you lived, and as a result of this judgment, you got sent to one of two places, either what we would call today heaven or hell. And so this idea of punishment, it's one that comes through interaction with the Zoroastrian religion, and eventually the area that was known as Sheol in ancient times becomes known as the area of hell, and that place of eternal punishment. I've already discussed this in a separate podcast, so check on the earlier listings to get the idea of how hell enters our concept of the ancient world. So it seems that heaven and hell, which are the main ideas, main motivating factors for many believers in religion today, are actually very late in their appearance in the biblical record, and most religion of the Hebrew Bible is done without any kind of expectation that there will be an eternal reward of everlasting life. It's simply that people did what they did because it was what God had commanded them to do. The afterlife was merely an unexpected bonus.